CHMA called up local economics professor Craig Brett to take us back to the basics on the carbon tax. I started off asking Brett exactly what it is.
Quite simply, carbon tax is meant to increase the price of things that emit carbon, CO2, into the atmosphere, notably most kinds of fuels and particularly fossil fuels. The idea is Econ 101, really. If you increase the price of something, people will use less of it. And so it's seen as a mechanism to reduce people's use of fossil fuels by adding it to their price.
Okay. And, you know, is it a controversial mechanism? Like, you know, in economics, is it a fairly well-accepted principle that you know, you put up the price of something and people will use less of it?
Pretty much. That's, it's what we call the demand curve in econ. It's one of the first pictures we draw. The only debate is sort of how steep the curve is, how much response you get per unit of increase in price. So if there is a debate about the carbon tax and its effectiveness in reducing people's use of or emissions of greenhouse gases, it's whether it produces much of an effect, given that, of course, it's increasing prices and taking money out of people's pockets. And so are you getting, you know, bang for your buck, as it were, is the only debate, and how big is that bang for the buck?
Right. So, I mean, and I imagine it depends on what the good is, because, I mean, like, for me, I can choose to drive a bit more or drive a bit less, but I don't typically want to choose to heat my house a bit more or heat my house a bit less necessarily, or it seems like different decisions there. So is that what's at play? Like, are the alternatives available one of the determining factors of how well carbon taxes work?
Like, oh, indeed. And unfortunately, carbon tax designs are very different from country to country, so it's kind of difficult to triangulate from one country's experience or even one province's experience in Canada what the experience is going to be in another place. Some of the more recent studies I've seen from places like Sweden, you know, they have a carbon tax, but they've pretty much completely exempted home heating and electricity generation from that carbon tax. So all of the effect is in the transportation sector, where, by the way, they do see a fairly large effect of the carbon tax on fuel usage in transportation. But are you going to see that same effect on home heating? Who knows? Like I say, a lot of the evidence just isn't there and hasn't been there for a long time.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's interesting. So when we're looking for evidence of this, you might see different countries or different jurisdictions who have tried various things, but each one is going to look a bit different. We even know in Canada, the carbon tax itself on home heating has affected different regions differently because, you know, different types of fuel are more prominent in one area versus another, I guess.
Indeed. That's why, if we look at the, I was trying to look up some numbers about the rebate system, which we'll talk about later. In Canada, and why the per household rebate is lower in New Brunswick than any other province. And part of it is because the home heating fuel component in New Brunswick is quite low. They're not expecting to get a lot of money because people heat with electricity here more, and they also heat with wood here more than they do in some other provinces. And so given that the federal government only wants to give back inside a province the amount of carbon tax revenue that it collects in that province, you know, the composition of different kinds of home heating is one of the important things that they're trying to keep track of for that reason alone.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the rebate, because that might be one of the more complicated aspects of it in Canada anyways. It seems, I don't know if other countries have done a similar thing where the federal government has brought in a carbon tax, well, never calling it a carbon tax, but they've brought in the carbon tax and tried to say this is a perfectly revenue neutral tax. This isn't a cash grab. We're not making more revenue off this. It's going to be money in, money out. And I think, number one, a lot of people that have, you know, even in my personal life have asked me, like, well, what the heck difference does that make then? If it's money in, money out, then why even bother?
Oh, okay. Well, two things. Well, money in, money out, yes. But the price of gasoline is still higher, which means in a relative sense, gasoline is more expensive than other things. And because of that, economic theory predicts that you're going to substitute away from the more expensive thing and into things that are less expensive. So the mere fact that gasoline is more expensive will perhaps cause you to take fewer trips in your car, or perhaps in the longer or medium term change the kind of vehicle you're driving.
Or carpool.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And so the price change is still there even after you rebate the money. I mean, any price increase, tax or non-tax, does two things to people. It changes the relative prices, which things are more or less expensive, and it also takes money out of their pocket. And what the government is trying to do with the rebate is try to neutralize that second effect, so that, you know, on net, less money is out of people's pocket. And also, you know, there's also the political optics, I would imagine, of saying, look, this isn't a cash grab. This isn't some kind of thing that's motivated by government largesse. It's meant to change the price, and it's meant to change the behavior around pollution. It's not meant to make money for the government. It's meant to be part of the suite of tools for reducing CO2 emissions.
Mm-hmm. I mean, one thing I should ask you about is, you know, we're in an affordability crisis, and a lot of people look at the timing of the last few years and think, okay, carbon taxes and affordability crisis, one must have caused the other. How reasonable is that assumption?
Well, I think that, to use the economist phrase, all else is not equal. You know, there's a lot going on with respect to affordability crisis, housing markets. I don't see a direct link to the carbon tax there. Food prices, well, there might be some, but there's a lot going on in food markets. There's a lot of, you know, global transport problems, holdups in the Black Sea. You know, global grain prices have been high for a lot of reasons. In this year and going into next winter, unfortunately, we're seeing that there was, crop failures in Europe, especially in crops that were used for cooking oils. So cooking oils are going to be expensive again this winter, and that's for reasons, you know, more or less unrelated to carbon taxes. And of course, cooking oils are the kind of thing that's going to propagate through a lot of restaurant food as well, and not just stuff in the grocery store. So, you know, I'm sure it plays some part. I mean, carbon tax is what, 8% of the cost of gasoline right now, give or take. You know, and so, you know, transportation, I don't know, transportation can't be more than a quarter of the cost of certain things. We know that, you know, in general, the biggest cost of most operations is personnel. And so, you know, so a quarter times 8% is 2%. All right. So let's, that's a just completely off the cuff number. And I think that's too high. You know, and so what, if prices are going up by 6, 7, and 8, and last year 9%, you know, I don't think carbon tax is the only culprit. Mm-hmm. I don't have a good sense of, you know, whether it's a small culprit or a small to medium sized culprit, but I don't think it's the main culprit.
Okay. All right. I mean, and are people actively working on that question right now? Like looking for
trying to
trace back what's going on exactly?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they are. I mean, you know, the problem is, you know, most data in econ is retrospective, right? We only find out that something happened after it happened, and then after that, you have to take a while to assemble the numbers and sort through them and then find the culprit. So it takes years, mm-hmm. Unfortunately, to figure these things out. And sometimes the problem has moved on before you figure out what the cause is, and that's mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but you know. Careful thought is often slow thought, and that's, you know, but that's what we need to to know what really went on is to you know, not just assume that because two things happen at the same time, they're causing each other in some sense. You know, if they were the only two things that changed, yeah, fine. But that's a lot's happened in the last 2 years, right? Not just yeah. There are more things happened in this world than carbon taxes and you know, the Canadian Consumer Price Index going up, and we have to. There's work to be done to sort it all out for sure.
That's part of a conversation with Mount A professor Craig Brett. We will post the whole interview at chmafm.com later today.